Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and praise the Lord. We are so grateful to be a part of this wonderful ministry of Blog Talk Radio. We're humbled and excited to bring you a message from the kingdom, a message words from the word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and we are here this morning on this Friday, last Friday in the month of April. And that brings us to the start of May that will give us our new prayer summit that will be May 5th. And that prayer summit will be held at 6 a.m. in the morning. That call-in number for that 5th Prayer Watch Summit will be 619-924-0684. And that way we have it in the archives. We are excited about the ministry opportunity that our callers have to host that prayer summit. We are excited for the prayer summit consecration, because it will be a 15-day consecration that will lead us up to Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All those things that we have been reviewing and looking at in words for the word of the last, of the next seven words spoken by Christ after his resurrection was in preparation for the 40 days of over 40 days of preparation before Pentecost Sunday. But we are currently in our fourth prayer watch of the morning, where this prayer watch comes at every time of revealing God's glory. The glory of God is occurred when the identity of our future is established. This is the prophetic watch. We must continue to wrestle until we see the face of God. This watch is linked with the approaching of the morning light and the breaking of day. This watch also represents the power of resurrection as we watch with the Lord. And that power of resurrection is what these next seven words of Christ is leading us to and revealing to us as Christ visits his disciples and those that were his followers after his resurrection. So we want to declare today to the command our morning. We will rise early to declare your lordship. We get under the covering anointing of the early riser. We come in agreement with the heavens to declare your glory. Lord, release the mysteries unto us and bring heaven down to earth. The stars are battling on our behalf ahead of time. My appointed times have been set by you, Lord, in heaven. We declare that your word will make contact with the womb of the morning and make her pregnant with our destiny. At sunrise, the dawn will give birth to the will of God, and light will shine on wickedness to shake it out from the heavens. At twilight, our enemies will flee, and newly formed spoils will await us at our destination. Our destination and our destiny is inevitable. We command the morning to open its ears unto us and hear our cry. Let conception take place, that prayer will reign, and the dispatch upon the earth to do your will. We declare the earth to get in place to receive heavenly instructions on our behalf. Our lands are subdued. We command all the elements of creation to take heed and obey as we praise you, and it resounds at the breaking of dawn, and the earth shall yield her increase unto us. We declare that the first light has come, for truly our Savior has come, and as we look at his next words after his resurrection, we are excited to declare them over the airways, and we encourage you to tune in to Hava Broadcasting Network. At any time, it has been launched, and the Word of God is going forth through the anointed broadcasters who have aligned themselves up with Heaven Agenda to bring light into the world. You can find us at www.christianfamilynetwork.com, and then that would be to then www.hava.tv. Hava is C-H-A-Y-A-H, Hava TV. The breath of God is coming in the earth realm through the global ministry of LFC Worldwide Network. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are excited. We have wonderful callers on the line. We are grateful for you. You all are live. We're going to look at that fifth word, go into the world, and we will ask our callers. Some were getting us scriptures. They will be prepared to read the scriptures after we give a little review of the prior words. And our scripture for this fifth word, which is go into the world, is coming from Matthew 28:18 through 20, as well as Luke 16:15 through 18. I'm sorry, that's Mark 16:15 through 18, and Luke 24:45 through 49. And what we want to do today with that fifth word is to compare the different presentations of this great commission. And then we will look at the summary of it that is found in Acts 1. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As we review those words that we have had in previous broadcasts, we do encourage those that have been blessed by those broadcasts to share with us your insight of the main element that was revealed to you that had a impact into your life. We will start with the first word, which is found in John 20, 1 through 18. Who are you looking for? We had established that this question was presented to the inner circle. It was presented for direction. It was presented to all of his encounters were done in order to address specific issues that had arisen in the hearts and lives of those who had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They had witnessed it, and they had come into the garden and were seeking to dress body for burial completely according to the custom. So the first word was to the women, and then to John and to Peter. Each had a different need, one for forgiveness, one had come for service, one for fellowship, for John was his friend, and they didn't see him. And the question is, who are you looking for? Sometimes we're looking for that Savior and that friend, but he is coming to us in a new way. and in a new light, and we don't recognize him. He could be, we're looking so hard for him, who we are familiar with, that we miss him as he presents himself in the new season in our life. Which one are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Don't let the weight of uncertainties keep us from seeing and understanding the power of the resurrected Savior to rise us above circumstances and uncertainties. And if we go through these times of trial and troubles and tests, and if we don't know that, and yet we go through these times of testing, and we know that they are, and we believe in him and we trust in him, but we don't see him and we have a but there, then we may be searching for more than what we're receiving, because we're not receiving the revelation of a new identity in Christ. And so our search sometimes will be frustrating. They were fearful and they were troubled. Callers, you're open to bring your insight in into that first word. Then our second word was found in Matthew 28:8-10. Greetings, don't be afraid. And this was done to the women. It was personal comfort for those who were seeking to serve the risen Savior. And he greeted them and calmed their fears, and he addressed their personal needs. He said, don't fear what you don't know. Don't worry about it. It has been defeated. Don't fear what you did. Don't worry about it. That has been forgiven. Don't fear what you can't do, for you will be empowered. And don't fear what might happen, because I have you in my hand. Don't fear what they say, but trust what you always heard from me. And from that, we had the verse of Proverbs 3:5-6, which is, you are not being asked, it's trust in the Lord from the bottom of your heart. Try to figure out everything on your own, but rather listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all, but run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health, and your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best, and your barns will burst, your wine bags will brim over. But, dear friends, don't fear. You're not being asked to persevere, but rather to feast on the promise of God's unfolding work of grace. The cross, the grace from the cross. We weren't being told to, you know, be strong and deal with it, but rather to rest in him and rest in his power. And Holy Spirit will bring it to us. But there is a preparation that we must experience first. These encounters were necessary for the preparation of the disciples. Each one represents a certain type ministry and ministry relationship that Christ was dealing with, and the different concerns that they each had. And he met those concerns. He quieted those concerns in order to build up their holy faith for the next step that they were to take. And then the third word was, what are you concerned about? Two men walking together on the road to Emmaus, ministry partners. What was driving their conversation and what drives our conversation as we walk as ministry partners together. Because what drives our conversation will also affect our emotions, and that will affect our witness. And we need our witness to be based on those promises and those truths that God brings us. And our input then in the gatherings as we come together in church will be reflective of what drives our conversations. Are our conversations driven by our circumstances, or are we exposing them to apply the word and rejoice in seeing God through them? We looked at the Mary and Martha scenario. They had all had a first row seat to some unbelievably incredible events, just as we have. But these things that were happening to them, they had no idea that it would look like that. And that is how ministry often is. As we walk with Christ, as we learn of him, and as we prepare to hear his voice and obey his voice, we have a crisis of belief. We just didn't believe it would look like this. But Christ had brought hope to them as he appeared to them. And during this encounter, their hearts burned as they walked. Their hearts burned in surrender. They were surrendering to fear, and in joy, they were replacing what they had heard and what they had seen with what God had spoken to them. And after all, God's promises are to be written on our hearts, as it says in Hebrews 8 and 10. So can you see that burning? It's from the word and promises of God being burned in their hearts. So their hearts were burning with a new found hope that would understand and take hold of God's promises, and that will bolster their spiritual confidence in Christ and calm all our fears and our anxieties. This encounter with Christ reveals the promises of God that will provide a place of safety in an uncertain world and in a place of unknown that we are often called to do and go. They are not necessarily change the world, but they serve as our life preservers. And so as we hold on to them, as our steps are ordered in his word, and as we step on the word and the promises of God, we will walk together as ministry partners and fellowship with one another about the kingdom business, and that's what will drive our conversation. We rejoice in the truths that he places upon us so that we might edify and build the kingdom. And then the fourth word was, peace be unto you. And we looked at what is peace. There were two different forms of peace, and one was the peace that Christ brought as he rose from the grave and reconciled us unto God, and we were no longer at odds and enemies with God, but we were now under a new covenant, a new treaty of peace written in the blood of Christ. And we realized that that peace was the peace of reconciliation. And then the word shalom off in the Hebrew means more positively a quiet goodness. This term conveys the idea that it is something proactive and aggressive. It is not being resting from a fear, but it is rather the Bible is setting us a focus, and it is the goodness of the life in Christ that is our gift, and it is brought to us through the Holy Spirit. So those were the words that we had sought and prior session. The scripture for the peace was, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace surpasses understanding, and it shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ. And we have spoken about what that guard meant, which was a wonderful illustration of this scripture. Guarding means to watch. It is not the word that means to watch or keep prison. It is a word that is often used in a military sense, meaning to stand at a post and guard against the aggression of the enemy. When peace is on guard, the Christian has entered an impregnable citadel from which nothing can dislodge him. The name of the fortress is Christ, and the guard is peace. The peace of God stands guard and keeps worry from eroding our hearts and unworthy thoughts from tearing up our minds. This is the kind of peace that man really wants, and he can only get it when he gets peace with God as he believes Christ for the forgiveness and the remission of sin, and then he receives the Holy Spirit, who will deliver the peace that is Christ. So we thank God for the source of the peace is the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it has been unquestionably established, and it is ours and ours for the enjoyment thereof. It is an undistracted fearlessness and trust, because we trust in the promises of God. Christ gives us his own personal peace. It has been tested. It was his own shield and his own helmet that served him in battle, and he gave it to us when he left. It should give us the same serenity in danger and calm in trouble, and the same freedom from activity that Christ had when he endured the passion of the cross. And so we thank God for the resources that we've been able to glean some of this information from. The seven next words of Christ by author Sean Stanford, and information referenced by John MacArthur. And so, we open the line to any comments for review and reflection that we had on the first five words. Callers, you are live on the line.
Hey, good morning, Overstay. How you doing?
Well, good morning, my bishop. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was a little blog talk listener worldwide. I was just listening to just the first five words. And at first I was getting frustrated, because it's like, man, why does it take so long for the soil to get to be ready at this time to receive it? In other words, why can't I receive something like this early? Man, and just thinking about all the peace I would have had at that moment if I had a... So after I worked through that real quickly, it started to become... now it's going to start to become prophetic after... with the sixth and seventh word. But I guess I was saying that it feels like steps of progression. You know, what are you looking for? And I can just remember, you know, that period of, man, I'm trying to figure this stuff out, you know. And then I love those steps, that second step of, you know, dealing with those fears. And, you know, for every fear... that arose, there was something to counteract it. You know, don't worry about it looking like this because I'm going to do this. Don't worry about that because I'm going to do this. Don't worry about if you don't know it, I'm going to empower you. Don't worry about what's to come. You're in my hands. And it's just like, oh, okay. But then that's great. And then it hits you with another step. Now, what concerns you? And because emotionally now, you know, you're kind of wide open to just like, okay, well, we got rid of the fear, but what do I do now? What am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to, you know, do with all of this now? And so just kind of, I'm loving the progression. It's like a wonderful timetable, you know, just to see that, all right, God has got you exactly where he wants you to be in.
Yes. Hallelujah. Absolutely. And as Bishop was sharing, and it is exciting to realize that, you know, we couldn't go from the resurrection morning, which was a powerful, awesome time, as we read about it in Scripture, but to have lived it and lived out. I heard one pastor, they hadn't read the book of Acts. They hadn't got to that part yet. And so they were dealing with things like we do, and it is a progression, and then you get through it one, there's another, and yet he puts this here to bring comfort. He is such a loving, perfect God, because he knew that not only would his disciples then feel that way, but he knew we would as well, as we were called into ministry, were called to be witness to him, that we couldn't witness to him with all of these issues, if you will. And so that prophetic, as you said, is very prophetic. That 40 days, he even went through 40 days of preparation before he went into ministry. And he had issues that had to be, and they weren't issues, but they had to be proven. And that is where we are. It's exciting when we get dialogue, because it brings out, you know, the real time view of the God and the elements that are being presented. So absolutely, I think my favorite was the two men walking together. And I think each week, you know, comes my favorite. But I think what he showed how these two men were in ministry. They were ministry partners. And as they conversated, it revealed what was in their heart. And in ministry, we look at situations and we discuss it with one another. And in our discussion, our words reveal what's in our heart. But that may not, and that will reveal if our whole heart has leaned on Christ, or are there parts of our heart that hasn't gotten there yet. And so as a result, into our own understanding, trying to evaluate the situation. And what that does in the body is not build it, but rather keeps it stagnant, because it doesn't grow when we get together. Our conversation isn't praise and worship. Our conversation is boo-hoo, boo-hoo. You know, I mean, it's like, well, what God serve, all right? You know that this is happening and this is happening and this, you know, and it's okay for us to share the activity of the world around us, but share it as exposing it to the Word of God, and then seeing how God, you know, is going to, what he has promised to do as a result of that. Our job is in. And so I was excited about the two men walking together on the road to Emmaus. I did not look up the meaning of Emmaus, and I probably should have. But the two men walking together on the road to somewhere in you. And obviously the wonderful encounter once they were with him sitting down, breaking bread, and then they saw and knew it was him. that was them seeing him as the bread of life. They didn't know him that way before. And so that's why they had not recognized him as he walked with them. And sometimes he's walking with us and we miss him. We miss him because we're looking for him as he's presenting himself in this season. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Bishop.
That is no problem. I'm just enjoying every moment of this growth. This is really wonderful.
Amen. And encouraging for me, just so that, and I see I spelled that wrong, but encouraging, you know, to see growth and development in us, in the church, in the body, being built, being made strong, you know, being embracing the revelation that God is giving. We have other callers on the line. You're alive. Your input and your, what was your favorite of the last four? I know we have our word peace, which we had a little homework to do. Did anyone look up peace, scriptures on peace? Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Did you look up some, you find scriptures on peace?
I did look up some scriptures. I mean, I did look up the scriptures on peace, some scriptures on peace. And as you stated earlier, several of the scriptures, peace in the Hebrew was shalom, peace and health, and the Greek was unity and concord. And it's used in different senses in the scripture, but frequently with reference to outward conditions of tranquility and individuals of communities and the churches and the nation. So it is Christian unity.
Amen.
And in its deepest application, spiritual peace through restored relations of harmony with God. And that form of peace is found in Luke 2:14, John 14:27, Acts 10:36, Romans 1:7, 5:1, Galatians 5:22, and Ephesians 4:3.
And of those scriptures, which one did you find to be the most powerful for you?
Well, the one that I thought about, I don't know where it's found right now, but it was the one about the peace guarding your heart, the peace
Amen.
Of God
okay.
guarding your heart. And when I saw that, I thought about some years ago, one of the ministers at my church had told me, one day, he's to guard my heart. And at that time, I said to myself, guard my heart? How am I supposed to guard my heart? And so when I read the scripture recently, and it was speaking about the peace of God guarding my heart, and it was like a light bulb went off. And at that time when he told me that, I was going through some depths of my mom and my dad, and I said, man, and now I understand what he was saying, you know, the peace of God you know, but I wasn't at peace. I wasn't at peace with their death, you know, the loss of them. So therefore, I wasn't having any peace. And although, you know, God was right there, it was like I really wasn't allowing him, Holy Spirit, to give me that peace because I was thinking about, you know, the loss of them and everything else that goes with that. So that was the scripture. I'm not sure which scripture is found in right now, but.
Right. And I think that is one of the scriptures that we shared last week as it related to peace. And that explanation of the guarding your heart, that is found. Trying to get it for you right now. Believe you have a glory. Well, but we did speak on that last week in Philippians 4:7. And so those are part of those scriptural promises that become life preservers. And it didn't change the situation, but it gave you that harmony with Scripture. And that's part of that description of peace that is shown in the Word. I know for me, I enjoyed the Psalms 4:8, which it says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And so one of the commentaries wrote that sheep are like the most cowardly animals that they are, and that they literally can have a heart attack if they are too frightened. And so often, you know, they say, and Bishop can help me with this, that when you go to sleep is when heart attacks most commonly happen in individuals at the nighttime. And so when I read this, it's like his word, in a sense, it would be health to our soul and moral to our bones that we live if we embrace the word of God. So this scripture, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And so just as the Good Shepherd leads us into green pastures and calls us to lie down, it is a part of that peace that he gives illustratively to the sheep who literally can have a heart attack if they're frightened too much. And so he knows that. He knows how to comfort our souls. And so we do. We are so grateful to the revelation of his word in our life. We have other callers online. Did you find anyone else a scripture on peace that brought insight and revelation?
Morning over here.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't find one on peace, but I was thinking of the second word when you were asking, you know, when you were talking about the words. And it's kind of peace because he's saying don't be afraid. And I like that one because it shows he greeted the women initially, then he told them to not be afraid, and then he tasked them. You know, then he told them, now you go tell the brethren, you know. And I like that whole idea because it shows that they were excited about it, yet they were fearful. They were having a variety of emotions. And I think a lot of times emotional state can be varied, you know, that we're apprehensive, you know, we're fearful because we don't really know what the next thing is, but we're excited about it because we know that it's bigger than us, you know, and just so in that encounter with the women, when he greeted them, you know, just the familiarity, you know, showing that, you know, he knew who they were. It wasn't like he just told them, just don't be afraid. You know, he basically comforted them, you know, with the greeting, and then told them not to be afraid. And then it's like, now that you know that, you know, this is real, this is me, now go do what you need to do and, you know, go and tell the brethren. So I like that one, just simply because it kind of covers a variety of things, and I think it speaks to the whole multiple emotions that we have on any given day and any encounter with, you know, with the Lord.
Yes, amen. Anyone else before we move on to our fifth word? Yeah, fifth word? Okay, all right. Now we want to get a reading of these encounters as they are presented in Scripture, and because we're looking at the next seven words of Christ in the order that they show in Scripture, we go into the world. Go into the world. The fifth word. So we want to read the account of this is given in three of the Gospels and
go
in the book
the
of
world.
Yes.
You saw some trouble again. All right. Yeah. I'm listening.
The Lord knows what's the deal, okay? You know, it's like, okay, now. Like,
I'm all ready for this.
It's episode. Yeah, you've been set up.
Oh, this is going to be one of those disconnections.
Yeah, he
oh, come on!
Amen. Go. Go. And know your world.
Grace.
And we'll talk about that. Absolutely. Go.
You know,
now
I just
got all settled. Now that he met all your needs. Okay.
Hey,
it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you. Amen.
God.
Go.
Give me something like go to Chick-fil-A and get something to eat. Give me something like that. Go eat. Jesus. All right, I'm listening.
Amen. It's go, go, go. Now he says in Luke. Matthew. That's the first one. Did someone have that scripture? And we really want to be able to just read it. Matthew actually is the shortest account of what they call the Great Commission. And yet it is penned by Matthew, who views Christ as king. And so it's interesting of his memory and what he's penned about that commission. Did anybody have Matthew 28:18-20?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Pat, is that you?
That was Roberta.
Oh, okay.
Is somebody else has it?
No, you're fine.
I heard enough voice. Okay, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's all that Matthew wrote about it. There is no
mm-hmm.
mention of the ascension of Christ. But there yes. And rather yes.
And that word go meant to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey.
Amen.
To lead or order one's life. So when he was telling them to go, he was telling them to pursue the journey on which he had already started them on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a bit for the benefit of Bishop. So in other words, go, I've done all this, and you've been, you know, all your needs and your concerns, your fears, your anxiety, I've given you direction and provision. I've given everything, and now continue. And this is interesting because he just tells them, now go do it. And this is under or after he's saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. So in other words, you know, you are under the letter of the king. And in those days, the king gives you a letter. You can go anywhere you want to do, go and do anything you want to do. You have the authority of the king backing you. And this is what Matthew felt was the most compelling part of his experience, and that he penned as it related to his last interactions with Christ. Very, very succinct. He was a part of the establishment. Matthew was a tax collector, so he's about business, and he's presenting the power of the king, and they all were looking for this king to come and free them and to conquer their enemies and establish their kingdom. And so he's saying quite succinctly, it's done. Now let's march as under the banner of the king, as an army going forth under the conquering king. And the king that is here.
Oh, but here, can I read that in another translation?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I'm here.
I think maybe we might have lost
Pastor
over here.
But I think we have. Hello? She's not there. Bishop, are you there?
She's logging back on in a minute. She got logged out.
The different translations are very interesting. You know, when you look at some of these scriptures, and I'm assuming that it was the King James that you read, Evangelist?
Yes.
That was the King James.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
You're back. Okay.
Yeah, I was saying yes. I don't know what happened. We've been having trouble with the system. Did you read it, Elder Deborah? Okay.
I did not. Yeah. We were kind of having a sidebar. But I just wanted to show you the difference in those two verses in the Message and the Amplified. In the Message, it says, this is the 18th verse, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. 19th verse, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The 20th, then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now that's the message. Those same verses in the Amplified, the 18th verse, says, Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be.
Amen. Amen. And the age indicating not the, you know, world, but until. So he took it to a grand scale, Matthew did. Now we want to read it in Mark, and that would be Mark 16, 15 through 18.
I have it. Mark.
Okay.
16, Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is King James. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's Mark 16:15-18. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So that was Mark 16:15-20.
Yes, 16-20. Amen. Does someone have the Amplified? Or a message.
I think that's the devil.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mark 16.
But I was
going
yes, Evangelist.
Pastor Mark 16:15-20. I was just going to say that when we the disciples, the two that was walking along the way, Minister Paulette, you know, they had they were looking for Christ. I mean, my mind was saying they were looking for him because he said that he was going to rise up. But because he had been with them all that time, so I probably, in my mind, I probably would have been saying, well, you know, what am I going to do now? Because even in this time when our leaders leave us, you know, and they have you know, directed us and guided us in his word and so forth. And when they leave us, then it's like, you say, oh, what are we going to do now? You know, what are we going to do? So I can imagine that that may have been how they were feeling because he had walked with them and they were wondering, well, what do we do now? What are we going to do? We don't have him with us.
And I believe that this account that Mark has written gives us a lot of detail, a lot of detail. And actually, when we look at all three of the presentations of the Great Commission, you can see how denominations could start forming if you just took one and ran with it, as opposed to taking them all and then looking at actually the first book of Acts, but the first chapter in the book of Acts, first book of Acts. But Mark gives so much detail to calm.
No, I do have Mark here.
Okay.
And it's 15 through 18, or do you want the 19 and 20?
It's 15, but actually through 19.
Tell me when you want me to stop. But the message in 15 says, then he said, go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. 16, whosoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whosoever refuses to believe is damned. The 17th verse, these are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. The 18th verse, they will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. they will lay hands on the sick and make them well. And the 19th verse says, then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor. And the disciples went everywhere preaching the Master, working right with them. And the disciples went everywhere preaching the Master, working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence.
Amen. Now, we just want to put a pin there because it is so necessary for us to see how Mark presents this commission that we are to take up. And he presents it with the view of Christ in the midst. Not even though he says he goes up into heaven and he sits down, yet he says as they went, Christ was working with them. So he's present. So they're, and as Bishop has said, they're prophetically speaking of this, the ministry of Holy Spirit, who is right there working with them, confirming what they do, confirming the power of what they do with these wonderful signs and wonders. And so these are the comforts of, and not just the comforts, but the standards that we are given to pursue in ministry with. We often want to know where I got to go, what I got to do, how I got to do it. And Mark gives us so much detail of all of these things. And he gives us details, what you're to look for, what you're not to look for, what will hurt, what won't hurt, where you will go, how you will go, who will be there. So he's giving them all of these details to answer the questions, not so much even of what are you concerned about. What was our other what are you concerned about? Every concern is being met here. And the task that he gave as he established them in the ministries that he was having them join heaven with, he was establishing them and giving them opportunity to be witnesses of the word.
That 20th verse is really powerful. In the message where it says, and the disciples went everywhere preaching, the Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. And that's the message. Not, you know, it sounds like that might be the Amplified, but that's actually the message. In the Amplified, those verses are, the 15th verse says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. The 16th verse says, he who believes, who adheres to and trusts and relies on the gospel and him who it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel of him whom it set forth, will be condemned. The 17th verse, and these attesting signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. The 19th verse reads, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen, and so be it.
Absolutely. And I think here we can see how everything Christ accomplished with them in those 40 days of being with them, they were now witnesses to. How much more powerful a testimony they have now than they had that day after resurrection. So it has been established in them so that they could be sent, so that they could be witnesses because it had happened to them, the remission of sin. So Mark is giving that very, very detailed understanding to his readers of the forgiveness of Christ, of what it's going to look like, and the fact that you can be saved, and the fact that you can be delivered, that your sins have been forgiven, and that there is evidence of this. So it's not just a witness to, they have an assurance. He's giving them assurance because he's giving them a clear picture of the standard of things to be. And so as he says, go, and as Evangelist had mentioned, continue to bring forth light into the world through the experience of peace that you found in me, both kinds of peace, the peace that relinquished the war between man and God, and the peace that calmed all of your human anxieties. And these are all things that are to be delivered in witnessing to the world and bringing them to a point of being baptized, being totally submerged and under the word of God in him, and being no longer subject to the effect of the natural on the spiritual. And so we have Luke's presentation, and his presentation not only includes the ascension, but also what the ascension looked like after he ascended. He said he went there and he sat down. Okay, and so this wasn't Christ telling him what he was going to do, but rather this is the witness of one who was there as he did ascend. And so there's so many aspects, if we're looking at these different presentations, that one didn't have, that another has so much detail. Then we're going to go to Luke 24. What are we starting with at Luke 24? Luke 24, starting with the 45th verse and going through the 53rd verse. And Luke, being a doctor, I think comes from the perspective of humanity, and very, well, let someone read it, and then we will see. Let's just start out with our reading out of the Amplified.
The Amplified, Luke 24:45 says, then he thoroughly opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that Christ the Messiah should suffer on the third day, rise from among the dead, and the repentance with a view to and as a condition of forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The 49th verse says, and behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. And it occurred that while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. And they, worshiping him, went back to Jerusalem with great joy. And the 53rd verse reads, and they were continually in the temple, celebrating with praises and blessings and extolling God. Amen, so be it.
Amen, amen. Oh, someone has a King James, a light version.
I have the King James.
Okay.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. and ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So can we see how differently these three men viewed the Great Commission? I think here we have a compassionate view. We have a, a view of Christ blessing them, a view of them praising him, changing the stature of them from frightened, fearful, locked up, anxious, and concerned, confused, and now it is an atmosphere of praise and worship, and continually in the temple. So now they're not locked up in a room anymore. They have gone forth. They have believed in him, and they have stood before man now boldly. And one of the things I think in this particular gospel, he says, start beginning in Jerusalem. In other words, Jerusalem was being forgiven. Jerusalem was being established in the heart of God and not rejected because what had happened there, because of what the people there had done, what the religious community there had done to the Savior, to Christ. But God's compassion and love, they start here so that they can repent. Repentance is for them as well. So he was also establishing in them no need for hating anybody or being rejecting anybody because of what they've done. The repentance of sin happened in Jerusalem, the most heinous sin in the world, when they crucified our Savior, when they beat him and mocked him and spat upon him and lied upon him and then nailed him to a cross and then pierced his side. But he's saying, start here. This is where my witness must start, here, among what may be the world thinking the worst place in the world because of what they have done. Then you need to know, but this is the first place that I go. This is the first place I want to be taken. This is the first place I want to receive my message of repentance and remission of sin, and that what they did is forgiven. You are witnesses to this, because all of the things that you have done were forgiven, and you see and know now what I have told you is to honor them by honor me by going there and giving them my story and an opportunity to repent and be saved. So Luke, as a doctor, had the most technical understanding of what had happened on the cross and the most physical picture, clear physical picture of pain and suffering of the Christ more than anybody, because he was a doctor. And his account of the Great Commission is focused on compassion, love, and forgiveness, you know, even in these things. So these three accounts, very, very different in the detail, and often, you know, they say if 10 people see one accident, you can give 10 different views of that accident. And this is true. This is true with us in ministry even. And no one is incorrect. And no one should stand alone. But they're all together. And it's what they all saw together. And it's for a purpose. It's for it's addressing a particular people, issue, position, role, type relationship, but it says we are a variety of members, but it's one body. And so I think that that's one of the things we want to review over the week, and to look at these three Gospels and then compare them to Acts 1 and what it says there, and the great detail that it goes in that another writer penned from what these three witnesses penned and saw. Questions, comments?
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, it's interesting when you were talking about that it started in Jerusalem, and in the rendering in the Message, if I can just share that with you. This is in the Message, and it says, he went on to open their understanding of the word, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. He said, you can see now how it is written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem. You are the first to hear it and see it. You're the witnesses. What comes next is very important. I am sending what my Father promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high.
Yes, she was reading us, not sure what happened to the reading. But the whole computer has been having issues, and they said they were having problems with the Blog Talk. But we will just continue, and absolutely reading it out of that version gives you a different, a clearer aspect,
certainly as it relates to the whole Jerusalem, it seems like there's emphasis on that, you know, when he's telling them, you're the first to hear it, you're the first to see it, you are the first witnesses.
Yes, yes. I don't know what happened that we couldn't hear part of what you were saying, Elder, kind of went off, but... I see how this is going to bring to us a greater understanding of ministry differences, because they are different. And even when the disciples start going out in the book of Acts, they had differences. They had different focuses and different opinions of different things, and yet we all have to learn to work together as one body and allow Holy Spirit to bring us to that unity in Christ Jesus. And so we are still, we all have gone over 10, but that's because Apostle told us to sign up for, actually she said for 2 hours, but we're doing 90 minutes. And so we still have time for any questions, comments, insights, concerns, and inspirations that our callers may want to share. All the lines are open, and so you may just speak. We encourage and enjoy the interaction of the participants. So as we look at the book of Acts, I want to read it out of Acts. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to those he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, "Gentlemen of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go unto heaven." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so here we have the account given in detail that added all of the prior accounts and then some, summarized and defined and then presented to start the Acts of the Church in the book of Acts and the first chapter. I enjoyed the part where in Acts he started with Jerusalem and then he included Judea. That was a split. And then he included Samaria. Those were people that had been shunned. And then even to the uttermost parts of the earth, including everybody in the plan of salvation, making sure they fully understood all of those customs and issues and concerns and ethnic profiling that had been taking place in the past were no longer those things that were to be acknowledged by them any longer. Their hearts were to be open and to embrace and to give fully and truly the witness of God to all people. So to Bishop, when he's saying go, it's go where? It may be the Chick-fil-A. And it's interesting because Chick-fil-A, yeah, absolutely. And just Chick-fil-A is a ministry that honors God, and as a result, they're not open on Sundays. So maybe it is that go is go and encourage and support those that are standing for Christ. So even though we say some things, it may truly be go into the business world where Christ is being honored and bring light and support and assistance in those areas, but go and make sure, you know, that they are encouraged and that they're built up in their holy faith and that their truth has not been distorted and that their spirit has not fainted to do and grown weary in doing well. And so we do get excited about everything God does, because when he does it, he does it on such a level that he loses us at the first rung of the ladder.
Okay. You know, Overseer, when I was looking through some things here, and I'll be honest, I don't remember what commentary it was that I was reading, but in that Matthew account, the 19th and the 20th, one of the commentary writers talked about the 19th verse speaks to the evangelism piece, where it talks about, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that the 20th verse speaks to his pastoral countenance, where it talks about, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you, you know, always to the very end of the age. And I don't remember, like I said, I don't remember what commentary it was that I was thumbing through. But I thought that was interesting because when I didn't see that, but then once I read it and went back and looked at the different accounts, then it really is two distinct commissions, two distinct tasks that, you know, he tells us to do, to go and make disciples of the nations as one thing, and then teaching them. And
in my, I guess in my history or whatever, kind of looked at that as just one long sentence, you know. Make disciples and teach them, you know, it's just one thing. But it's another one of those nuggets as you're reading other accounts and, you know, you really do see it differently. You know, the part of that speaks to the evangelism piece and the other part speaks to the pastoral piece, which just shows how he loves us, you know, that there's something for us to do, like you just mentioned, you know, Jerusalem, Samaria, and other parts of the earth, you know, that we go out from where we are. You know, you start where you are and, you know, and go out. And teaching is one thing. You know, evangelizing and making disciples, you know, which is bringing people into the fold, but then teaching them so that they can obey what has been commanded. So now we are equipped, you know, is a different kind of thing that, you know, you got to get them in, you know, and then we train them up, you know, or then
absolutely.
We are trained up, put it that way.
And if you look at Matthew's account, he doesn't say be witness. He says teach. And
yes.
It's almost you're saying, I mean, there is in every office is being presented in the commission in one of these or, of these four presentations in Scripture. And very distinct. Actually, when you look at them, they're very distinct, and they're very distinct for a reason. Because as teaching, it says teach them to observe all things. And then he says baptize, and I believe that Mark says baptize. And that in itself is another ministry of preparing a person to be, you know, teaching them so that they can be baptized for the remission of sin and teaching them that. And every, as we read and as we release our old mindset, or and it's not so much even an old mindset, but as we release our own knowledge and things and experiences and receive this new revelation that Scripture brings to us, we are able to have a clearer picture of what our task should look like. Even if it's not what we are to do, it may be what our attitude is to be. And what our focus should be, what our hope is, and even what is the group that we're sent to Jerusalem or the Samaritans or to Judea or to the ends of the earth. So a lot of people, you know, no, I'm not going. You know, well, there is the first place was at home. That's the first place. And I venture to say that place was mentioned once very specifically. But it is mentioned, and so it's not that all of them saw it as being away, as so much as just being the witness, wherever they were to be, go into all the world and preach. Then there's to teach to all, doesn't say the world, it says to all nations, and you can be right here in Chicago and pretty much go to all nations at some place. Or you will find all nations. And so there's so, or in America, period. So there are so many things that, you know, we take it and we run with it with one eyesight. But when we're allowed to have that good provincial, what is that? The side view and the whole view, the God's eye view, peripheral vision, you know, we'll see something even the more. Something even the more. And so there can be a comfort and a peace and an acclamation, you know, something that verifies the thought or the longing in our hearts, though we're not sure, it doesn't look like what we think or people say it should look, you know, and yet it is personalized for us specifically with scriptural support. So any more, Bishop, are you still with us? Some people have to work.
Yeah, I'm still on the line listening. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'm still here. I'm definitely
okay.
Still here.
Man.
So no, I mean I'm soaking in. I'm trying to figure out because you all got Bibles like apostles. I got Bibles with reading and text in it, and I'm like, where are they getting this stuff from? Y'all got these heavenly Bibles, these different versions, but I like the different interpretations. They seem like each one builds upon the other one. One sets a foundation, the other one expounds on it, going out, teaching them. You know, and then I think it's just that go, you know, it's like, well, where am I going? Well, in this day and age, with all the ministry opportunities that we have, you know, that's where you go, you know.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I struggled with personally was just, I guess, the preparation process. You know, the mindset of our ministry is faith. You know, you don't stop ministry because there's a lack somewhere. You expect God to provide that lack. And that's new when you come from a background that says you got to have everything together, put all your ducks in the row, count up the cost, make sure this out, budget that out, make sure this doesn't interfere with that. Don't burn yourself out. Rest, you know, and it becomes frustrating. A war begins. So that's just kind of where I was at with all of it as I was listening. That's just where I was at with all of it as I was listening, trying to process, okay, what does this mean for me at this moment? What do I want to do with this information, and how can I be the most effective with it?
Amen.
You know, and I think once again it's that confirmation of, you know, don't fear this because I'm going to do that. Don't fear that because I'm going to do this. Don't even think about that because I'm doing this. You know, and, it's, you know, as I just continue to replay that portion of, okay, so then I just need to be positioned to go. The Old Testament always talks about when the children of Israel were ready to go, you know, he told them to eat standing up, have one pair of shoes, gird up your loins, and you be ready when you see the signal. You know, you don't get caught. You get ready to go. And, you know, so you're watching as well as working the ministry, if you will. Or doing the work of the ministry.
Amen. And it's interesting, you went old school, but you can come into new school, new testimony, when Christ comes, don't even take thought. You know, don't take a jacket, don't take, just go.
Oh, wow.
He tells you, you know, he makes it clear.
Wow.
And he said,
oh, well, I forgot about that one.
Minister Paulette. Go ahead.
I was just saying, okay, we have like 30 seconds. But we can always continue. I just want everyone to know, you know, you don't have to hang. We can continue. So go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say when Bishop, I was listening to Bishop, and you had mentioned to us about scriptures in the Psalms concerning us. And so I was just looking over that one scripture that says Psalms 1 and 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The happy man
the happy man should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I always think about Bishop because he's always smiling. And, you know,
amen.
The word rivers is the superlative in the Hebrew, and it is hyperbole for abundance. The blessed man is planted, given plenty of water, and becomes a tree. God's trees are planted trees. They are not wild growing trees. Rivers of water is the word of God. So for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, God wants his word to come down like rain. So we are to get the word out, and it will produce something. It will cause trees to grow. And I found that one commentator said, each tree bringeth forth his fruit in his season, Bishop. It is interesting to note that God's trees don't bring forth fruit all of the time, but they bring forth in their season, and the power is in the word of God.
Amen.
So it provides strength and substance, and it is also cleansing. And we can see this washing of water with the word expressed. That's Psalms 104, the tree of the Lord is full of sap. So we're the cedars of Lebanon on which he is planted. And that sap is the word of God, Bishop.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And I love it because Christ, the word of God, it says in one of the, I think it was in the Old Testament, asked somebody, he said, look, and what do you see? And he said, men like trees. You know, and so we stand by that river, and that is part of the peace that he causes us to lie down in by the still water so that we can stand and be that light unto the world and witnessing however it would look, however he has designed or led us to do ministry, to seek out those that are in need in whatever form or place they are in their walk and in their knowledge of Christ. And that is the Great Commission. So that is our fifth word, and we are excited about the sixth word, which is, have you caught any fish? And that's coming from John 21, 1 through 23. So it's going to be word rich next week because it's 23 verses, and we want to look at them and hear them in the regular NIV, and in the Message and in the Amplified, those different versions that give us different insights. And so we are excited about that. Next week we'll be in March, and we want to remember the March. We will be in May. I got all my months all messed up here, but we will be the first week in, first Friday in May. We have the Prayer Summit. That is a ministry opportunity. Anyone that wants to host that Prayer Summit, I encourage you to contact the Apostle, Dr. Shanette, at 773-779-1300. So that prayer summit can be established and go forth, and it will go forth on the air, over the air, starting at 6 a.m., and all need to know that it will be 3 hours, but you must call in within the first 2 hours to be a part of it. So you can, once we're online, we're there for the whole three-hour prayer summit. But you must call in and be on the line within the first 2 hours, from 6 to 8. At that point, you can't call in anymore, but once you're on, you can remain on until it is over. So anybody wanting to host that prayer summit, I encourage you to prepare. The consecration for it is going out, and you should get it. If you do not, you can contact the ministry. at 773-779-1300, and a copy can be sent to you. It's going to be an exciting 15 days because we're leading up to Pentecost. We have prepared our hearts and our minds. The soil of our hearts have been tilled and fertilized. It's been watered. It's been seeded, and the power is going to break through. And we're prepared. We have positioned ourselves under the heavens to be recipients of this downpouring, of this rain, of this powerful explosion of the ministry of Holy Spirit in and on our life and on the ministry and on the church, the body of Christ. Expect, and be excited for a change, for a new thing, for the dawning of a new age in this world, changing the airways for the kingdom of the risen King, Jesus the Christ. Again, we will talk again on next Friday. Any comments or concerns and insights and inspirations and encouragements and revelations that you might have, you can feel free to share them now. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's another great broadcast.
Well, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank everybody for their participation and for their input, insights. It's very powerful when the body of Christ get together. All it says is, takes is two or three, and we're four, five, six deep. So we expect and we have received, and we worship and we will rejoice in it and in Him. Thank you, and everybody, do it. Continue to have a blessed day. Amen.
Amen. You too.
All the time.
Amen.
All right. God bless everybody.
God bless.
Yes. Man. All right.